Chapter 2. The New Margarita. On the first landing, Sorelli ran against the Comte de Chagny, who was coming upstairs. The Count, who was generally so calm, seemed greatly excited. "Oh, I was just going to you," he said, taking off his hat. "Oh, Sorelli, what an evening! And Christine Daae, what a triumph!" "Impossible," said Meg Giry. 6 months ago she used to sing like a croc." "But do let us get by, my dear Count," continued the brat with a saucy curtsy. "We are going to inquire after a poor man who was found hanging by the neck." Just then the acting manager came fussing past and stopped when he heard this remark. "What?" he exclaimed roughly. "Have you girls heard already? Well, please forget about it for tonight. And above all, don't let Monsieur de Bienne and Monsieur Poligny hear. It would upset them too much on their last day." They all went on to the foyer of the ballet, which was already full of people. The Comte de Chagny was right. No gala performance ever equaled this one. All the great composers of the day had conducted their own works in turns. Faure and Krauss had sung, and on that evening Christine Daae had revealed her true self, for the first time, to the astonished and enthusiastic audience. Gounod had conducted the funeral march of a marionette, Reyer his beautiful overture to Cigare, Saint-Saëns the Danse Macabre and a Reverie Orientale, Massenet an unpublished Hungarian march, Guiraud his Carnaval, Delibes the Valse Lente from Sylvia and the Pizzicati from Coppelia. Mademoiselle Krauss had sung the Bolero in the Vespri Siciliani, and Mademoiselle Denise Bloch the drinking song in Lucrezia Borgia. But the real triumph was reserved for Christine Daae, who had begun by singing a few passages from Romeo and Juliet. It was the first time that the young artist sang in this work of Gounod, which had not been transferred to the opera, and which was revived at the Opéra Comique after it had been produced at the old Théâtre Lyrique by Madame Carvalho. Those who heard her say that her voice in these passages was seraphic. But this was nothing to the superhuman notes that she gave forth in the prison scene and the final trio in Faust, which she sang in the place of La Carlotta, who was ill. No one had ever heard or seen anything like it. Daae revealed a new Margarita that night, a Margarita of a splendor, a radiance hitherto unsuspected. The whole house went mad, rising to its feet, shouting, cheering, clapping, while Christine sobbed and fainted in the arms of her fellow singers and had to be carried to her dressing room. A few subscribers, however, protested. Why had so great a treasure been kept from them all that time? Till then, Christine Daae had played a good Siebel to Carlotta's rather too splendidly material Margarita, and it had needed Carlotta's incomprehensible and inexcusable absence from this gala night for the little Daae, at a moment's warning, to show all that she could do in a part of the program reserved for the Spanish diva. Well, what the subscribers wanted to know was, why had de Bienne and Poligny applied to Daae when Carlotta was taken ill? Did they know of her hidden genius? And if they knew of it, why had they kept it hidden? And why had she kept it hidden? Oddly enough, she was not known to have a professor of singing at that moment. She had often said she meant to practice alone for the future. The whole thing was a mystery.